The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. And it's our children's message time today. And you boys and girls who are here and who have been watching online have noticed that over the last few weeks I've had a loaf of bread or a package of bread with me. And so today we have another one. And what I wanted to do was to ask if you folks can think about what's in a loaf of bread. We have on the back, of course, is the label. And so the label tells us that in a loaf of bread there are carbohydrates, and there's also sodium and some little bit of sugars and some protein and some vitamins of various kinds and some good things for us. So let me ask you, do you think that this bread is good for you? Well, the answer is there are certainly some things in here that are good. The carbohydrates are good for energy, and that helps you run and play. But you also want to be careful of how much of the sodium, that's salt, because we know that too much salt can be a little bad for us. But there's also protein in here, which is good, and the various vitamins. So you see, the bread has some good things in it and some things that you have to be careful about. Jesus calls himself in our gospel lesson that I just read the bread of life. That means that we can think about Jesus as the one who brings us some good things for living. Jesus is good fuel for people who want to follow God because he gives us the help and the guidance that we need to be loving and faithful people. Now, if Jesus has a food label on him with a list like fat and sodium and carbohydrates and protein, do you think that's true? No, Jesus doesn't have a label on him, does he? You're right, he doesn't. But he is a gift from God for us, designed to give us everlasting life. And there is bread from the store like this that gives us fuel for running and playing. And then there is bread from heaven, Jesus, that gives us fuel for following God. And that's what Jesus wants to share with us today in the lesson that I just read. Jesus is the only heavenly bread that we need, and he can nourish us every day. So I think that's a good thing to think about as we move into our sermon time today. And so I say the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's begin this with a time of prayer. Father in heaven, you are the living bread from heaven, and you bring us things that we can get nowhere else for life in this world and for eternal life beyond. Thank you for the bread that comes down from heaven. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if it's true that you are what you eat, said a man in line at a burger joint, then I must be fast, cheap, and easy. He's not alone. Americans clearly are good at consuming what isn't good for us. Now, I asked a question in my opening welcome. Some years ago, 60 Minutes commentator Andy Rooney created a stir when he posed the question, what are the two biggest categories of nonfiction bestsellers? So I gave you a little bit of a chance to think about that. What do you think is the number one best-selling nonfiction kind of book? What do you think? No? Cookbooks, that's right. Cookbooks are the number one. What do you think is the number two best-selling nonfiction type of book?
Diet books,
that's right. Cookbooks and diet books, number one and number two. Kind of strange, isn't it? I don't know. We page through cookbooks searching for the most enticing recipes, and then we race right over to the diet books to find out why we can't eat that stuff. But probably shouldn't be too astonished by that. Food has always excited strong emotions in people, sometimes contradictory emotions, in fact. Most of the world's people are preoccupied with food and worries about having too much or too little of it. We in North America spend vast amounts of time, energy, and money devising new and better ways to eat less, while most Africans and Asians spend a large portion of their waking hours finding enough food to survive. These days, there's plenty of information out there about dieting and eating right. Diet-conscious folks know that eating right begins in the grocery store as you take the time to read the labels on the cans and boxes before you put them in your cart, paying attention to serving size and fat, sodium, and cholesterol content and nutritional value, and then eating accordingly is one of the best long-term things that we can do to promote our overall health. You might be familiar with the food pyramid that the U.S. Department of Agriculture put together to give a visual picture of what a healthy diet looks like. The base of that pyramid, the stuff of which we should have the most, consists of whole grains like bread and cereal or rice and pasta. The other steps in the pyramid build on that foundation: fruits and vegetables, meats and dairy, with a small amount of fats and oils at the top. According to the pyramid, though, it's the bread group that provides a solid foundation for a good diet. Now, today I'm sharing with you the third in a series of sermons based on the lectionary series readings in John 6. And the fact is that what's good for our stomachs is also good for our spiritual lives. We need our recommended daily minimum requirement of Jesus. And in this text, Jesus uses kind of strong language. He invites people to eat of himself, to consume him, to feed on him. Of course, it's kind of a grotesque image if we can't get by the literal level, which some imperial authorities in the church's early life could not get by. They accused Christians of being cannibals. Justin Martyr, among others, wrote eloquently to assure the imperial court that this was far from the case. Truth is, consuming Jesus is good for us. It's healthy for us, and we live better when we're faithful and committed followers of Jesus. Now, it's no coincidence, I think, that Jesus uses the image of bread to describe the most basic element of spiritual health. I am the bread of life, he said. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. All of our recommended daily requirements of grace and love and forgiveness, the food of eternal life, are found in a growing relationship with Christ. Indeed, said Jesus, all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Believing in Jesus, following Jesus, relying on Jesus form the foundation of a healthy, whole, and eternal life. My friends, it's important to read food labels because when it comes to nutrition, there's often a debate as to whether a particular food is good for you or not. I can think, for instance, of eggs. A few years ago, we were told to avoid eggs because of the cholesterol they supposedly contain, but now we've been told that eating eggs in moderation actually benefits our levels of good cholesterol. So which is it? Some doctors say that having a little wine every day is good for you, while others say to avoid alcohol altogether. And coffee, well, it supposedly reduces the risks of diabetes, Parkinson's disease, and colon cancer, but we also know that caffeine raises blood pressure. So you have to weigh all the information and make the best choice. It's all in how you read the label. Now, the Jews looked at Jesus' self-proclaimed label and were skeptical about his spiritual value. To them, the label said, Jesus, son of Joseph the carpenter, son of Mary of Nazareth, a 30-something contractor from a nowhere town out in the country. Maybe they had been thinking along the lines of Nathanael. Remember the disciple when he first checked the label on Jesus and said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? See, the religious elite decided that the old nutritional guidelines were sufficient, and that this Jesus as a messianic pretender was just a fad diet that would soon pass. But for those who believed, the Jesus label read manna. Jesus is life-sustaining like the manna in the wilderness. The wilderness, the manna that their ancestors received in the wilderness. Jesus reminds them that it was the plain nutrition of the manna that sustained their ancestors in the wilderness, enabling them to be free from slavery and enter into God's promised land. But while manna was the basis of their sustenance, it couldn't make them eternally healthy. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness and they died, said Jesus. So, you know, no matter how good our diet might be, eventually we all end up in the grave. It's just a matter of whether it's sooner or later. What Jesus offers us, however, is the kind of nutrition that will fuel us now and in the future, in the resurrection life. He said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever." So the foundational spiritual nutrition of Jesus' own life, death, and resurrection is what sustains us in our journey out of sin and death into the promised land of God's kingdom. Unfortunately, and ultimately, we know the true nutritional value of food through experience and observation. We see people who eat right and exercise and enjoy things in moderation, and we observe that they are healthy. But when we watch someone who eats a steady diet of junk food and gets their only exercise from mouse clicking or channel surfing, we know they're headed for trouble. And let's face it, going from an unhealthy diet and lifestyle to a healthy one takes discipline. But it also involves beginning to experience the benefits of eating right. A smaller waistline, more energy, compliments from others, those are the positive things that give personal reinforcement. And the same is true of our spiritual lives. When we engage in the daily disciplines of cultivating a personal relationship with Jesus through prayer and study and meditation and service and worship, we start to experience those benefits and we want more. We learn that Jesus is indeed good for us on a lot of different levels. When we're living on a steady diet of Jesus' presence in our lives, others will begin to notice and will be attracted to what they see happening in your life. And as an example, as a result of your connection to First Lutheran Church, for instance. That's sharing the good news of Jesus at its most effective. Every time we come to the Lord's table, we celebrate a meal that's full of spiritual nutrition. Jesus says that the bread he would give for the life of the world would be his own flesh, foreshadowing the lengths to which he would go to provide spiritual nourishment of salvation in his own sacrificial death. Every time we take the bread and the cup, we are partaking in a life-giving diet of grace. Before we go there, however, it's important for us to have fully checked the label and to know that with Jesus, we have found all that we need. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. And I'll invite you to stand as you are able, and we will sing our hymn of the day.